The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
If I were a Cowboys fan, what I would take from it is that, okay, if I put him behind that line and I've got, you know, Dez Bryant on the outside, he knows how to throw it in the general area. Trust me. You don't want to overreact like, oh, this guy's going to be the next greatest. No, forget that. It's just, you know, he's not god-awful right now. And there are a lot of teams in the NFL, their backup quarterbacks, they know their backup quarterback is god-awful before the game starts. So at least now you have some hope.
But that's also, to me, that's part of the process. You have to learn. You have to learn these things. And, you know, he had a good game against the Patriots last year, and I think that's one reason why they liked him. That was at home. So, you know, we'll see. And I just think it's going to take a while before we know what he is. And
no question.
You know, I think people trying to already judge after seven passes of a preseason game. I just think that's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, what's...
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click a like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at Jerome Solomon, at Producer T. Scott. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Mr. Hoffman is off in New Mexico getting ready for his fight. He will be back on Wednesday.
When is the fight?
I think it's September the 16th, somewhere in there. So it's coming up. Unfortunately, his fight is, he's off that day, obviously, and I wanted to go to the fight, but I don't think I can get there in time because he's got one of the early fights. So, you know, if I take off from the show too or not, I have to work all that out, but a lot of people tell me there's sheep's head in the Gulf and they have teeth. And I remember catching a sheep's head. I don't remember the teeth looking like that, but it's been a long time. It's been 20 years probably. So,
yeah, when I catch my fish.
I know it never ate my testicles.
That's a positive.
Exactly.
I think you would be one that would know.
Well, now they're pretty clear that they don't know. I mean, there's no confirmed reports of these fish biting testicles.
Listen, that's one of those kind of things where the rumor is enough. You know, you don't have to convince me. You don't have to tell me twice. I don't have to be testically bitten to respect your testicle biting ability.
I'm not swimming in your lake. I'll just tell you that.
Yeah, you want the lake, you have it. That's fine. I mean, you know. Now, when those testicle biting fish are, you know, walking up my driveway and, you know, knocking on my door, then we're going to have a problem.
Let's grab a phone call. Tim, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports, guys.
Sports.
Hey,
demon.
Fred. I just moved to Houston from Oklahoma. I listen to the show every day. I love the show. Hey, quick question on U of H and expansion. I think Oklahoma and Oklahoma State would like for U of H because then to come to the Big 12 because then they could get their footprint back and pick the Big 12 down in Houston. Because in recent years, since A&M left the Big 12, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State's recruiting numbers for Houston have been down dramatically. So I think they would actually like for U of H to come to the Big 12, so maybe they could get some recruits again down here. I'll hang up and listen.
See, I'm not sure that their recruiting went down because A&M left. I mean, I don't see a direct correlation of that, except that, you know, A&M heading to the SEC open a, you know, a different kind of a pathway for more kids to go to the, well, plus they opened a bank account, Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Yeah, those schools are getting kids out of here now. LSU always has. OSU. Alabama has made huge inroads here as well. Mm-hmm. And no, I agree. If I'm Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, I like coming down here once every 2 years. And, you know, I think that's, you get your presence back in here. You get these schools back in Texas. Yeah, this is a big market for them. And what do? You play Rice every 5 or 6 years or something? I think it'd be really – and for Texas Tech even, as much as they might be scared to death, that they'll slide down the food chain a little bit. That's a great recruiting tool for them. There are kids from here who like to go to Lubbock. I don't know why. There's some people who like Lubbock.
Nothing wrong with Lubbock. Why you dog Lubbock?
Lubbock's not a place I would live.
Well, there are a lot of places you wouldn't live. Well, and that's, that doesn't make them horrible places.
No,
you know?
Some people like Lubbock.
Lubbock is all right.
I remember there was a guy from the newspaper there who wrote the best cities in the Big 12, and he had Lubbock number one. I respectfully disagree.
He must have been getting free drinks.
I would have Austin number one on my list, but there's some people who don't like Austin.
And that's kind of one of the things I've always said about when people try to compare UT to Texas A&M and that ridiculousness of, oh, you ever been to College Station? Well, there are a lot of people in the state of Texas who wouldn't want to send their 18-year-old son to Austin to play college football. And a lot of people who would love to send their 18-year-old son to College Station to play college football.
And there's a lot of reasons for that.
And this is Texas. I mean, you can have as much fun in Lubbock as you can in Austin, as you can in College Station. It's just a different kind of fun.
Well, but to my point, though, there are kids who want to get out of the city.
Right.
That don't necessarily want to play here. That's okay. There's a lot of kids who can play. And there'll be a bunch of them who want to stay home, and they're doing real well with recruiting right now. I mean, they're recruiting on the same level as a lot of these teams. And there'll be a bunch of them that want to go to Lubbock, and that's okay, or want to go and play for Baylor, hopefully, if they get their act together. I mean, their options are still there. I don't think it's going to hurt as much as they think it is. I think it's going to help. And what was that?
I was talking to Tyler.
Oh, okay. Obviously, I missed something.
No, it's...
But as far as Oklahoma, to his point about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, there's a big...
It gives them a better footprint here than
does. And the fact is they have a lot... There's a lot of Oklahoma State alumni here. There's a lot of OU alumni here. There's a lot of people who are in the oil business, and that's... Yeah, and I know a lot of them, and they would love to be able to go see their team once every 2 years here.
One of the things I think that we do, though, we fall into, or fans especially, fall into the trap of trying to use history as a determinant of what's going on in college recruiting. You just can't. The world changes too fast. It's a different world now, and I don't cover college recruiting, so I honestly can say I don't know what the world of recruiting is specifically like now, because just 20 years ago, the recruiting world had a lot. One of the most significant factors was, I want to be able to see my son on TV. Well, now,
everybody,
it doesn't matter what damn school he goes to. He can go to Buku State in Nevada somewhere, and he's on TV 7 or 8 times a year. So that has changed dramatically, where, you know, it wasn't the case before. So I'm not sure... If we're still, sometimes we discuss recruiting, we're talking about how it used to be as opposed to how it is, because, you know, OU getting to come here to play U of H once every other year, is that really going to get a 5-star athlete from Westville High School to go to OU when he wouldn't go there now, but he'll go there because, hey, man, they got to play U of H twice while I'm there. Really?
But it might.
I'm not saying it doesn't.
I disagree with that, because you might be a kid that wants to get the hell out of town, but you want to be able to play in front of your family too, and you just don't want to do it every damn week.
And they can head up to Dallas when OU plays Texas. They can head up to a road trip to Norman. Is not a big deal. OU's always recruited Houston. OU recruited Houston when U of H was in no conference. OU recruited Houston. U of H was in the Southwest Conference.
But it also
OU wasn't in the same conference. So it's always recruited Houston. So I don't know. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm saying I don't know.
Well, somebody sent me an article. It's pretty telling about how the SEC's numbers have gone way up in recruiting Houston since A&M went there. I'm telling you, losing A&M lost them this market. Hate to say it, but that's the truth. And the best way to fix it is get your teams back here. Play the championship game here occasionally. I mean, that's when Texas was great and they were playing, beating the crap out of Colorado at Reliant, then Reliant, as it were. I guess I have to call it NRG now, but, you know, that was huge.
No, the Big 12 ran Houston. No doubt. I mean, because
but that, I think people
that
under
was, that was the Big 12 had didn't the SEC wasn't competing in Houston at all because you had A&M, Texas.
Yeah, and they ran. But this is giving them
now.
A,
you split.
And I think people underestimated the impact A&M leaving would have on the Big 12
I said that at the time. It made no sense on that level.
And it's worked out for them, man. We were up there a couple weeks ago, I guess maybe last week, for that's the first time I've seen that stadium since they finished all the renovations. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, that thing's huge.
It's a beautiful place. It's a great football facility, great stadium, maybe the best stadium, place that I love to watch college football more than anywhere else. A&M is just a fantastic spot. I'm still mad that they're not in the Big 12 because I think A&M, Texas belong in the same conference. That's just me. I like that way a lot more than I like this.
I like them in the SEC though, because I'm kind of an SEC honk and I like that they play all those teams. I wish Texas was still good. That's the thing. Texas needs to have a big year. We'll talk about that when we come back, because I wanted to get your thoughts on all these teams while I have you here. We'll do that. We're gonna take a quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And I kind of wanted to get your opinions on some of these teams, but let's grab a couple calls first, and then we'll do it. Let's get Matt.
What's hey, up? Sports guys.
Sports, man. What's
I wanted, up? Wanted to talk a little bit about U of H going to the Big 12. And if they did, how do you think they would handle games against teams that have huge traveling fan bases? You know, they're playing Oklahoma this year in NRG. Don't know if they would continue to, I mean, play those teams in the huge stadium. I mean, they get a lot more money out of it, obviously, but it just doesn't give them that obvious home field advantage or, I mean, true college stadium experience. If you guys want to touch on it.
Yeah, that's basically much ado about nothing, not to just totally discount your point. I get where you're going, what you're thinking, but I think the standard is it doesn't matter where you play, the home team in the Big 12 or the road team in the Big 12 is guaranteed, 5,000 seats or something, whatever the number is. So yeah, they would give that number of seats to OU fans, and if OU fans bought out the other ones from the rest of the
which they would.
I mean, that's it. Forget the home field advantage. You're gonna sell it out regardless, and the better you are, the more of your fans will hold on to those tickets. And they didn't have that problem when they were in the Southwest Conference and when Texas came to town and Texas would, you know, buy up most of the Astrodome, and they didn't sell those games out at all. A&M wasn't that good and didn't come in with big crowds at all. Heck, the U of H Rice games did as well as U of H A&M games at the time. And that's part of the problem why the Southwest Conference fell under. But it's not that – that's not an issue. that will not keep U of H from wanting to get into the Big 12.
No,
U of H will give away all of its seats to Oklahoma fans, and it can be an OU home game. U of H would gladly do that to get into the Big 12.
And not only that, the one thing is they've set up that stadium where it can easily be expanded to 50,000. So, yeah, they're fine on seating. I'd love the idea of high profile games at Reliant, though.
Those
temporary
rafters,
things.
Those are
so awful.
For the UT game back in, what was it, 2003 or something?
And see,
those
this is such an
awful, dumb situation and what is it, the fire marshal or whoever, whoever the hell makes that call said, these are not safe. You can't use these seats. Oh, and it was just a complete debacle.
I remember being at that game and seeing those and going, holy bleep, there's no way. There's no way you could have put people in those things. That's just dumb.
It was bad construction.
I remember David Barrett saying, oh, well, they use these at the Olympics. And I'm like, well, they're lucky nobody died at the Olympics. But, yeah, and that's what we were talking about, how far this place has come. I mean, Robertson was fun for me to go to, but it was a dump.
You needed an on-campus stadium because the Astrodome, one, after it gotten worn down, it wasn't the place. And it wasn't on campus. You didn't have that atmosphere, and you'd have 20,000 people in there. It's just not good enough. So, yeah, you needed that, but you needed it to be up to par. I remember I went to Tulsa probably 5 or 6 years ago for a game. And I'm like, my goodness, Tulsa has a better stadium than U of H? Yep. This is embarrassing.
Almost everybody did.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I haven't been over there yet. My brother had got married over the weekend, and one of his longtime friends from elementary school went to Rice and played football at Rice. And so he was there, and we talked quite a bit. So I haven't been to Rice's to see the new facility at Rice of how they were done and everything. But he was talking about, man, they're at the same locker room we were in. And, you know, you look back at old film and like, that's the same locker room. We might want to upgrade. And he visited around when his son was playing some college ball and went to other places, and he couldn't believe how bad the facilities were at Rice. So it's good that they finally ponied up and upgraded there. That's just the world we're in. You have to keep up.
Let's try Todd. What's up, Todd?
Fred, Jerome, how are we doing today, sports guys?
What's up, fella?
Hey, after that gem of the day segment, I think the blitz safe word of the day should be cup, as in you should be wearing one when you jump into an unknown body of water or running through a neighborhood infiltrated by wild dogs. But in any case, it brings me to my point of Jim Irsay complaining about Rex Ryan's blitzing in a preseason game. Now, we all know Jim Irsay has nothing to fill up a cup. But I want to know your opinion on the fact that how much does the Indianapolis Colts offensive line get paid? Are they not professionals? Should they not be blocking if his concern is Andrew Luck's health and Rex Ryan's blitz?
I didn't even see that, but that may be the most ridiculous thing I've heard from this weekend. I didn't see it, so
you
gotta be. And that's what I'm saying. You know that's what's gonna happen. I mean, if you're playing Rex Ryan, they're going to blitz. If you're playing Greg Williams' defense in the preseason, regular season, they're gonna play. It's a football game. If you didn't want to play a football game, cancel a game and just practice. Don't charge people to show up to watch the team play football. So that's stupid.
And the thing is, they're blitzing, but they're not doing exotic blitzes. They're just coming after you. They're sending five guys against four or six guys against five, and you know they're going to get to your quarterback a little bit. And I think that's good. You want guys throwing under pressure, because the guys who sit there and just lay back and play plain vanilla defense, you know, you're not, especially with Andrew Luck, it doesn't matter, but with a young quarterback, you really don't know what you have yet. You want them to kind of get in that situation where they get pounded a little bit. I was glad to see the 49ers send some guys after Osweiler a couple times.
You want them to get some live bullets, and that actually will lead to a thing of I don't think it's a huge problem necessarily, because most of these guys won't be on the team, but man, you think guys who were not going to be on the team for the Texans would have been playing with a little more of their, what's that, hair on fire type of an attitude. And I didn't really see a lot of that from the bottom end of the roster. Did you?
I mean, no, I saw
a bunch of guys who were just running wild and, oh, I'm trying to make the team. And they were not doing that.
Seemed a lot of tentative play out of those guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I Jim Irsay is a joke. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, Colts fan, because I love Andrew Luck and I like your team, but your owner's a joke. There's just no way around it. You want to talk about somebody that came out of the right penis, or else he wouldn't be anything in life. Let's try Kendall. What's up, Kendall?
Sports, guys. How you doing today?
Great, man. How are you?
Good, good. Just a couple of quick questions or a comment, really, is over the 49ers and Texans preseason game yesterday. For the really 49ers, and I guess this is more for Jerome because I know he's followed Rice a little bit more closely lately. Vance McDonald, tight end for the 49ers, play ball with the kid. He's progressed pretty nicely over the last few years. What have you seen out of him, particularly in the 49ers, that has obviously helped his career, and what do you see in the future for him? And then the last thing is for both of you guys, as far as the Texans, I agree with what you just said. Nobody seemed like they played with their hair on fire, which is what you got to do, especially for guys who are trying to earn themselves a spot. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, what?
Like, Vince Wilfork doesn't need to play like that.
No.
He shouldn't be out there anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't need to play.
Yeah.
At this point. Because he has a track record. We know what he's going to do. And actually, it's like, do you think they were like, they're trying to light a fire on him or trying to make him do something? Because you know darn well, maybe they told him early in the week, but you had to pretty much know. He was walking around the last week and a half saying, well, I know I'm not playing.
Probably. And, you know, they've been talking DJ Reader up a lot, too. I wonder if they're not trying to motivate him a little bit. You know, if it's not just a.
Yeah, but if I'm Vince Wolf, I'm like, I don't play these games. I'm a grown man. You know what I do. I'm here. So if you don't want me here, let me know. But I don't need to be out here with these children.
You know? Yeah, I mean there were a couple guys that did play like that, but for the most part, I think you get what you get in a first preseason game. You're going to miss tackles, guys are going to miss assignments, and you are going to play tentative in those situations. And his first question for you,
yeah, and real quick on Vance McDonald, I don't know a whole heck of a lot about him, but I do know this though, he's athletic, he can move, and when you have a quarterback that's not great. That's what the 49ers have. Tight ends come in really handy. So he's got a great rapport with Blaine Gabbert. I do expect Colin Kaepernick to start. I'm just wondering if that light will come back on for Kaepernick. And when you have a quarterback like Kaepernick in a Chip Kelly offense, McDonald should be able to really do some damage. I mean, and that's, you know.
From a fantasy perspective, I think I'd invest in him this year. I liked him, always have. I think this offense is going to be perfect for him. All right, we will get Jerome's opinion on everything I was going to do that segment when we return. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in.
Wait a minute.
What?
We go anywhere. You got to read this. Your Sugar Line Skeeter one?
No, that's not until the next segment. Yeah, I read that at 645.
Forget this, how somebody's going to do, how these teams going to do. I know you and Lamont aren't going to argue with me about College Station being a great place to watch a college football game.
No, I'm not arguing that. I'm just telling you, I it's not in my top three.
Okay.
And I've said this for years. Knoxville, when Tennessee was at its best.
I was saying, well, that's what?
Except for that freaking.
That was 18 years ago, still, and it lasted for 2 years.
It's still a great place, except for that freaking Rocky Top every 5 seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say, you get that Rocky Top.
You get that in your head, too, and you can't get rid of it.
You get the Rocky Top. Now you're close to my friend, you know, Jack Daniel's Distillery, so you get to mm-hmm. do that. But, you know, you worried about the trees. And the swinging brothers, so you're a little, you're not as comfortable. But
that's not a white guy problem, though.
That's not, I know, that's so you wouldn't understand.
Of course,
it's a black thing, you wouldn't understand. Now, but Kyle Field is louder, even with the 100. That, well, obviously, Kyle Field.
Now, I haven't been there. I haven't been there since they've got it over 100,000. And I'm not saying
when
it's
it
not
only
great.
Had 70, when it only had 75, 80, or whatever it was, 86, it was the loudest place.
I'm just telling you.
Baton Rouge is outstanding.
Night game at Baton Rouge.
Oh my God, that's pretty serious.
And there are some great ones in the Midwest. I mean, Ohio State, Ann Arbor is the one I prefer the most. And I have a lot of people who swear by Wisconsin, which is also a great atmosphere. But
I've been to Wisconsin for basketball games, but I've never gone to a football game there. I think it's more Wisconsin football games. I don't think they rank with the big boys.
Yeah, I mean, and some of it's personal preference.
No question.
But to me, if I had to rank them, those would be the three that I would enjoy the most. Like you're going to pay for me a trip to go wherever I want to a game.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Yeah.
Then I'm probably picking, Michigan, Ohio State at Michigan, or I'm picking Tennessee and fill in the blank at Tennessee. I'm not even sure what the best game would be anymore. Or LSU, Alabama at Baton Rouge. I mean,
that's the thing. That's the big games. I would bet when they're big boys and they're kicking butt and they really haven't matched up that way in a while lately. And I've never been there, but I bet the big cocktail party, Florida and Georgia, would just be ridiculous. But
when they used to call it the world's largest cocktail party.
Yeah, I mean, so that would be fun. Oregon. Oregon's now it's kind of a cool, fun place. You know,
it's not
hardcore, but it's just really fun, loud, and awesome, and just rocking and entertaining. But and that's the great thing about college football. It's like that. The NFL, on the other hand, a good percentage of them are exactly the same.
Yeah,
you don't even know what stadium you're in.
There's a few places that are unique, like Lambeau
stands out. Arrowhead is probably the loudest, and it's great. And Seattle, but most of the others, they're kind of the same.
And there's a lot of great ones.
They're dead.
The Swamp's a great place to watch a game. Between the Hedges at Georgia, I mean, all of those are. And I'll tell you what, even both the Mississippi schools, great places to watch games. But if you're asking me what the best experience for me at a game I've ever had, those are the top three on my list. And Kyle's up there, don't get me wrong. But
Lamont mentioned West Point. I haven't gone to a game at West Point. I might talk. My boss didn't let me go to the game at Navy. The difference is, like I said, my friend I was talking to the other day, his son played, he was in the Naval Academy and played for Navy. At West Point, the games are on the base, as opposed to at Navy. So that would be interesting. Or the Army-Navy game, which is not on the base in Philadelphia. I've always wanted to do that. That's on my bucket list of covering that event.
I don't think I've ever been to West Point for a game, now that I think of it.
And I bet the pomp and circumstance there and just the, that feel. We all become a lot more patriotic when we're in those situations than we are, just walking around. That would be worth it.
Steven said, went to the last official cocktail party. Amazing. Got 50 yard line tickets for $50. Dude was wasted, so the girlfriend sold them. That's an underrated way to get great tickets cheap. Is
find the couple that's arguing.
Well, go, especially if you go to a Texans game and people start drinking at 8:30 in the morning. You are going to get people who are too drunk to go into that game.
Forget it.
And they're going to be fighting with the wife. And that's when you can jump in there and pounce and get really good tickets. That's great advice, Steven. I'm glad that worked out for you. But, yeah, I've seen that before, too. Where
didn't the Cowboys mess that up, though? You can't even get into the tailgating lot, or are they not as
strict on that as they were? You can buy tickets to get in there.
You can buy a tailgating ticket?
Yes, you have to. I don't know. I've never been in there without a ticket. I've never understood and I don't want to get this started again because people get so pissed that do it. But I've never understood the concept of, I'm going to go tailgate but not go to the game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit here and watch it on TV here. Well, why don't you go home and watch it, or watch it in a bar? You're in a parking lot.
They want to be around other people.
I know. I get that. I mean, that's fine. It's not for me. If I'm going to, I'm going to get drunk, then I'm going to go to the game and get drunker and watch the game. That's my plan.
I haven't done it, but I understand. The one I don't understand is I go to Duke or pick a school, and we're in the Final Four, and the Final Four is in Houston at NRG, but I'll go to the stadium in our home stadium to watch the game on TV.
Yeah,
that I don't understand. But, you know, they always have it. They have, like, here's the live look inside the stadium. We're like, why are y'all there? That's crazy.
We were talking about this off air, though. I'm getting, and I guess it's just getting old. I still like having fun and all, but I'm less and less wanting to go out and do things and be around a bunch of people. And I don't know why that is.
I don't want to be around a bunch of drunk people anymore.
Well, I mean,
it used to not bother me because I was,
it used to not bother me either, but when they're already drunker than I am, and that's always kind of like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going home.
Oh, no, there's nothing worse now than, and it really is, a symbol of your maturity, I guess.
No, maturity is not a word I would use with me.
No, I'm going to use it because when 20 years ago, you walk into a room, just a room, with, say, only 10 or 15 people, and they're putting them down and they're rolling. You're like, let's catch up, you know?
Yep.
Now you walk into that room, you're like, all right, good, y'all have them? Okay, I love them. All right, good. I'm going to have one. Cool. And then you just kind of, hey, I'm going to go to the restroom. You just kind of ease on out because you're like, they're already drunk. This is not even any fun. But, you know,
yeah. Either that or
that's maturity. If you don't use maturity on that one, you'll never be able to use the word to describe yourself.
I mean, inevitably, I'll like have a couple to try to catch up, and then I'll get like, you know what, this isn't any fun. I'm going home. Oh well. I still like to go out every now and then, but man, I'm doing a lot less of it now. And usually, it used to be we'd go someplace, get some dinner, have a few drinks, and then hit two or three places on the way home. And now it's kind of like, all right, go out, have dinner, go home and drink at home.
Home it is. You're old home drunk now.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm still drinking. It's just, you know what, I got a great TV there. I got great alcohol at home. I got a nice balcony. Sit there and enjoy life, you know. That's. D says, I played in all the Big Ten stadiums in Wisconsin was the loudest and craziest place. I've heard that. I've heard good stuff. I mean, and I've been there once, but I don't remember much about it. It was a long time ago.
That turf. It just looks weird to me, but like I said,
I remember it being a cool atmosphere. Those are the three that stood out to me more than any place I've ever been. But, you know, that's, again, personal preference. All right. Well, I have a dumbass report. Actually did one.
Cool.
We'll do it when we come back.
You don't even need AJ to be a dumbass.
No, I'm a...
That was smooth.
That was mean. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. We're headed to the ballpark. Grab your glove, your gal, and your kids and join up at Constellation Field this Wednesday. Gates open at 6 for the Skeeters to take on the Lancaster Barnstormers at 7 p.m. Make sure to stop by The Blitz broadcast for your chance to win gear and prizes from ESPN 97.5. Also, the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas coming from Max Place right after us. Tyler, you're going to be doing that one too? So a long day for you.
I am.
You know what? I don't want to jinx it. But he's done a great job so far.
Oh, it's been smooth.
I like making him nervous, though, because whenever it gets down to 1 minute, he's walking around the hallways looking for me. Yeah, I love doing that.
So you're doing it on purpose now?
Yeah, of course I am.
Okay.
He's hiding.
<Yeah.
laughs>
I know exactly how much. When you say I've got 4 minutes, I know to wait until there's about 45 seconds left before I show back up.
Well,
wander around, say hello to people.
The next show tend to, they don't understand the concept of time very well. So
with the that last read you did, grab your gal.
Hey man, I didn't write this stuff. Now
I'm just saying, you know, that's...
your glove, your gal, and your kids. Now if you're a female, don't you grab your guy?
You can't grab your gal.
Well, if you're a gal, you can grab your gal. If you're a gal, you can grab your guy too. I mean, you can grab whatever you want.
I mean, yeah. Why were y'all being so specific?
I don't. I don't write these, okay? And if I did, they would read a lot differently. And frankly, I should read them before I actually read them. But I don't. I totally go, you know, I
You trust them to lay it out like it's
one of these days. I'm going to say bleep you, San Diego. That's because I totally Ron Burgundy these things. And I know better because I know better, but I do it anyway. Man, I just got this email and it brought back a memory because I think you set this interview up for me. But I got an email saying, interview the amazing Kreskin, world-renowned mentalist. Here's his thoughts on how to stay safe amidst increasing gun violence in the United States. That was one of the most bizarre. I don't know if that was the worst interview we've ever done or the best. It was just so bizarre. The guy never shut up, and he just kept going and going and going and going.
And it wasn't that entertaining.
It wasn't entertaining at all. And I mean, I thought it was going to be kind of funny.
Yeah, it seems like okay, this could be something you can have some fun with. And
so I'm probably going to pass on this.
Just
so you know. But, yeah, because I remember you sent it to me and said, hey, man, this might be fun. And I looked at it and go, yeah.
I think I did. I recall that, yeah.
I was like, yeah, I looked at it and go, yeah, this could be cool. And, yeah, and I'm going to go back and listen to that interview and then I'll decide if we're having him back. But I'm guessing not. Although people loved it because he would just – we couldn't get a question in. He would just keep going and going and going and going.
And they're like, so, well, how far can he go? Who's the which one? There's a boxer that does that too.
Oh, Bernard Hopkins. Yeah. I think you interviewed him with me once. You were filling in one time, and we had Bernard.
I was like,
and I was trying to warn you.
I was like, hey, okay, in these last 30 seconds, Bernard, blah blah blah. Like 5 minutes later, I was like, damn, dude, you got a problem with time? Do I need to ring a bell over here?
It's funny because all the listeners are like, Jerome's first experience with Bernard Hopkins. Welcome. All right, I do have some dumbasses for you, mostly Florida dumbasses, which is cool. So let's do a dumbass report. We go to Miami, and I think Swan Like Libra sent this to me last week. But a man suspected of stealing a car from a high school busted out his best dance moves when he appeared in bond court Thursday morning. 30-year-old Calvin Lloyd Griffith began twerking to gain the attention of Miami-Dade Circuit Judge Catherine M. Pooler. My mom's here, he exclaimed as he was brought before the judge. His microphone was turned off after he continued to speak, but that's when he started twerking. Judge Pooler was not amused and set his bond at $18,500. So, what the hell is wrong with Florida?
He thinks he's Gator in the Spike Lee movie or something. He's going to dance for his lunch. Like, the judge is going to go, oh, that's funny. Go home. No.
Well, I've got another Florida man story for you.
Does this involve Ryan Lochte?
No, this does not involve Ryan Lochte and gay sex in the back of a car and you accusing him of things and finding him on Grindr. Right now, a Florida man is having to live without pizza. A judge has banned him from ordering pizza from any of his local pizzerias.
Because?
He's been charged with harassing local restaurants in Sebastian, Florida, 4 counts of harassing phone calls, 2 counts of first-degree petty theft, and 1 count of second-degree petty theft. They began investigating in June when several pizza delivery places started reporting the phone calls. Over a 3-week time frame, cops said the man made orders and refused to pay, sending delivery drivers to fake or unoccupied addresses and calling other restaurants just to say he hated their food. Get on Twitter and do that?
Yeah, but how is it theft if he didn't actually...
He allegedly used 5 different phone numbers to make the calls, as well as fake names, or in some cases, he just refused to give a name at all. Businesses in the area say they lost at least $667 in food as a result.
Wow.
That's why, as a condition of his bail, the judges ordered him to refrain from calling for any more pizza.
Y'all didn't do that in college?
You
order the pizza for the room that's not there, and the poor schmuck walks up and, you know, and nobody's there, and then he's walked back through the lobby, and you're like, oh, you want to sell that pizza, man, since the guy that ordered didn't get it? And, you know, you'd buy it off of him. So you get a discount? You get the walk-away discount?
No, I never did that.
I me either.
No, I really never did that. All right. Are you a UFO conspiracy guy?
Especially since they don't exist, so I would think I'm not a conspiracy guy.
Secret army of UFOs is plotting war against us from under the sea, new book claims.
Of course.
Apparently, many of the reports lie in the files of Soviet and Russian Navy and remain secret. But in their new book, authors Paul Stonehill and Philip Mantle reveal stories of strange encounters
Manhole.
By the Soviet and Russian Navy with unexplained objects.
Manhole. His yeah. name is Manhole.
I'm just saying.
And you want to go with the UFO story.
I'm just telling you, these guys think that they can, you know, make a case for UFOs under the water who are going to plot a secret attack against us. And I had one more, but we've only got a minute left.
Ryan Lochte, four tall, handsome, hot-looking U.S. swimmers go out to a party in Rio, and they leave at 3 o'clock in the morning with no women.
Hey, man, you're...
No, I'm just, I mean,
no, I,
you know the odds of that?
14 to 1.
Really?
Yeah. Depends on...
RJ Bell tell you that.
Hey, you know what? You've outed the guy. You totally did.
No,
you
did
totally
not,
did a daily.
I did
beast.
Not out. I just
nope. You totally did a daily beast on him. Shame on you. All right, that's gonna wrap it up. I want to thank Jerome Solomon for filling in. Give him an A+ for today. Tyler, you did a great job.
Outstanding.
I'm gonna
sir.
Give you an A+ for the day. I was better than I usually am. I'm gonna get a serious C-. So tomorrow, Barry Laminack filling in. AJ will be back on Wednesday. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.